careful, Ben. These steps can be slippery.
And steep. Maybe we should go to the pool later, after the service.
Well, careful. That step is wet. I've heard that the water has been moving about this time of day lately. Maybe we'll catch it this morning.
Jesse, do you think what they say about the angel, that an angel comes and stirs the water, is true?
And that the first one into the pool is healed? I don't know. I'd sure like to see that. But my father says it's just an old superstition.
Hey, there's old Judith, the crippled one, lying on his mat. I've heard about him.
You know him?
He's been crippled ever since I can remember. Boy, it'd be something to see him healed and walking again.
Listen, I think the water's starting to bubble.
Yes, I can see it.
The water is stirring.
The angel has come.
Let me through. I must get out of the way and get out of my
Someone,
way.
Someone, please, please help me. Get me into the water. Have pity on me. I've been crippled for 38 years.
We could help him, Jesse.
Not me. My father says I'd be defiled for touching a sinner like that. In fact, he doesn't want me coming down here at all. Besides, look, it's already too late. Somebody got into the pool ahead of old Judah.
Poor man.
Hear that, Ben? We'd better hurry. The morning service is about to begin. My father has a part this morning, too.
But all these poor people.
It's God's judgment on their sin. Hurry, let's go.
There's no hope for me. I'll never get into the pool first. Oh, Lord, let me die now. Spare me from more suffering.
Troubled Waters.
Our story begins at the Pool of Bethesda, near the temple in Jerusalem. Here, crowds of sick people came and waited for the water to move, believing that the first person to step into the bubbling pool would be healed. Many of these people were crippled or blind, and some, like Judah, had been waiting for years to be the first one into the pool when the water was bubbling. It is the Passover weekend in Jerusalem, and the city is bursting with visitors from all over the world. But the city is quiet, for it is a Sabbath day. At the Pool of Bethesda, the suffering people wait quietly, hoping for a miracle. Some sleep on mats in the shade of pillars. One of these is Judah. Jesse and Ben are again on their way to the temple. They've decided to go past the Pool of Bethesda.
I wish we didn't have to go this way, but it's the shortest way and we're late already.
I like it. It's so cool here.
But going past all these sinners, it makes me shudder. Oh, there's old Judah again. He really must have been a sinner to be punished like that.
Is that what the rabbis say?
God is just.
But look at some of those other ones. Some are younger than us. Do you think God is punishing them?
Perhaps they are being punished for the sins of their parents. My father says...
Your father? You make him sound like a prophet. Moses himself.
He is one of the rabbis, a member of the council.
How can I forget it? I'm the friend of Jesse, son of Rabbi Eleazar.
Well, it's something to be proud of.
And you're always going around acting like a little rabbi yourself.
What do you mean?
It's not much fun being with you. You're always telling me, stay away from that. Don't touch. That's dirty. That's sinful. Don't carry that on the Sabbath. It's against the law.
Well, what's wrong with that? Don't you want to be just before God?
By following all these laws of the rabbis? How can I... Hey, look, who is that?
Who?
That man coming toward the pool.
Oh, him. I've seen him a couple of times in the temple. He always draws a crowd. The priests don't like him much. I think his name is Jesus.
Where does he come from?
From Nazareth. My father always says, can any good come out of Nazareth?
But isn't it strange that someone like Jesus should come to this pool during the Sabbath? Look, he's going toward Judah.
Well, we better watch. Perhaps this Jesus will defile himself and...
And then you can tell your father,
Let's just watch. Come on, let's go closer.
Look, Jesus is bending over Judah. He's talking to him.
Friend, would you like to get well again?
Judah's heart leaped with hope. Would this man help to carry him into the pool when the water bubbled again? Had someone taken pity on him?
Sir, I can't get well. I've no one to help me into the pool when the water begins to move. While I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets in ahead of me. It's been that way more times than I can remember.
Stand up, friend. Roll your sleeping mat and go on home.
Judah looked deeply into the man's eyes. No, he wasn't joking. There was something very special about that stranger's eyes. Judah felt power in the man's words. He felt a surge of hope rise within his body. He felt power flow through his legs and new strength electrify his muscles. Judah felt himself being lifted up from the sleeping mat, and it was his own two legs doing the lifting.
Do you see what I see? Oh, Judah, he's getting up. He's standing on his feet.
I see it, but I don't believe it. It can't be. He didn't even go into the water.
No, Judah's dancing around.
I am cured. Look, everyone. Look, I can walk. I can't believe it. I can jump. I can dance. I have a new man.
Look at old Judy. He's walking.
Praise God. It's a miracle.
How did it happen? I didn't see it.
Judah, I didn't see you step into the pool. The water wasn't even moving.
But what happened? I wasn't even watching.
Judah's been healed. A miracle.
That man, Judah, the one who spoke to you, did he do it? Is he a prophet? Who was he?
He told me to get up, and after he said those words, I felt myself get up. Oh, yes, he must be a prophet, but I don't know his name.
You don't even know his name?
Where is he now? We must find him.
I don't know where he is. I was so excited, I didn't see when he walked away.
I didn't see him go away either, did you, Jesse?
No, but I think he went toward the temple.
Come on, let's go there too. Maybe we can find him.
Wait a minute. I want to watch old Judah some more.
What did he say to you, Judah? Tell us word for word.
He said, stand up, roll up your sleeping mat, and go on home. Oh, praise God. I stood up. Now I must go on home and tell my family. God be blessed. Then I'm going to the temple and give an offering of thanksgiving. I'm well. Praise the God of Israel. Look, I can climb these stairs by myself. Look, I can stand up straight and climb the stairs two at a time.
Ben, do you see that?
Yes. Oh, Judah's taking the stairs two at a time.
No. I mean, he's carrying his sleeping mat on the Sabbath.
So?
Well, it's against our laws to carry a burden on the Sabbath.
Big deal. What would you do if you'd been crippled and someone came and made your legs strong and told you to take your sleeping mat home?
Judah climbed the stairs out of Bethesda. He still found it hard to believe what had happened. He walked briskly across the pavement by the temple. The April sun was so warm. The air was so fresh. Life was great. And soon, his family and friends would rejoice with him and praise God. Near the temple, old Judah met several of the religious leaders. They all stopped in surprise.
Rabbis! Rabbis! Oh, it's wonderful!
Wonderful, yes. What is this? Do you know what you're doing, old man?
Why, well, yes, I'm going home, walking home. Last time I had to be carried home, now I can walk.
But you're carrying your sleeping mat on the Sabbath.
Well, the one who spoke life into these legs told me to do this. He said, stand up, roll up your sleeping mat, and go on home.
But you're a Jew. Surely you know it is unlawful to carry a burden on the Sabbath day.
Well, don't you remember me, rabbis? I'm Judah. I've been crippled for 38 years. The man who cured me said, roll up your sleeping mat and go on home. How could I disobey him when he gave my legs new life?
Who is this man who told you to do this?
Well, I don't know. I wish I did so I could thank him. He just disappeared into the crowd. But you must know him. He must be a prophet of God. And after I go home, then I'm going back to the temple to look for him and give God a thank offering.
Well, be on your way then. You were apparently ignorant about the law. You must give a sin offering too.
Yes, Rabbi. Oh, I must hurry. I'll find him, the man who cured me. He must be a prophet.
A prophet indeed. Teaching ignorant people to disobey our laws.
Do you think it was Jesus of Nazareth?
Of course. Who else?
It can only be Jesus. I hear he's come to the feast.
What will we do? Word of this miracle will get around.
We must alert the others. Perhaps now we have this Galilean teacher just where we want him. Telling a faithful Jew to carry a burden on the Sabbath? Why, if this was up to us, we could put him to death for it.
This time, he's outsmarted himself. He could have waited until tomorrow to heal that Judah fellow.
Let's get over to the temple right away and tell our guards to be on the lookout for him. And keep an eye on that Judah, too. Maybe he'll find this Jesus for us.
A wise plan, Johanan. I'll have the temple soldiers ready to seize this Jesus of Nazareth.
Judah didn't know it was Jesus who had healed him. Now he decides to search for his healer and thank him. The religious leaders also want to find Jesus and arrest him for breaking their laws. Jesse and Ben, two boys who witnessed the miracle at the Pool of Bethesda, are also on the lookout for the one who had healed Judah.
Boy, look at that crowd of people around the temple. How are we ever going to find the man who healed Judah?
Well, he's not hard to spot. Just keep looking.
Hey, there. There's old Judah.
And there's the man who healed him. Let's get closer.
Master, it is you. You're the one who healed me at the Pool of Bethesda. Thank you, Master.
Yes, I am the one. Now you are well. Don't sin as you did before, or something even worse may happen to you.
Oh, Master, I will never sin again, but what is your name?
I am Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus. Thank you, Master.
See? I told you it was Jesus.
Shh. Look, Judah's leaving. He seems to be in a hurry.
Shall we follow him?
No. I want to watch Jesus some more. I've never seen a man like him.
Judah was overjoyed to have found the man who had healed him. His heart was full of gratitude, and being unaware of the hatred of the religious leaders for this man who had healed him, he went first to them. Never suspecting they were trying to trap Jesus.
Rabbis, I found him. He's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's in a temple right now.
Excellent. He is the same one who told you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day.
Yes, that's him, Jesus of Nazareth. He's a wonderful man, isn't he? Perhaps a prophet of Israel.
A prophet of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
No prophet of Israel would speak against our laws. Come, Hanina. We have important business to do.
Well, you must find him, rabbis, and learn from him. He has the power of God.
Don't worry. We'll find him.
Have you alerted the guards?
Yes. They're ready.
Good. The high priest thinks it is time to open the eyes of the people to exactly what this Jesus is. A blasphemer. An imposter. He must stand before the rulers and be tried. And then all will see what kind of a troublemaker he is.
Swiftly, plans are carried out. Jesus is seized in the temple.
Look, they're arresting Jesus of Nazareth.
Why? What harm has he done?
They're afraid of him. His words have power, not empty like theirs.
Why are you so rough with him? He never uses force. He speaks of love.
Yes, it's mine. He heals the sick. He blesses children. He teaches us about God.
That's right.
The guards took Jesus to the room where the ruling council met. This council was called the Sanhedrin, a group of about 70 religious leaders whose purpose was to guard the traditions and laws of the Jewish nation. Many of the council members were already present. Heading them was Caiaphas, the high priest.
I think we have him this time, my friends. I've received a message that the guards will be bringing Jesus in any moment now.
Yes, it was a clear case of Sabbath breaking. Just yesterday, too. He had to do it deliberately. He's a Jew and knows what God requires.
Yes.
What do you think, Eleazar? Yes. I believe your son witnessed the whole thing.
Yes, he spoke of it. And I agree we must crush this Jesus quickly. For all of our regulations to preserve the holiness of the Sabbath will be a mockery throughout the land.
True. Such rebellion must be punished one way or another. The people will see this after we get through with this Jesus. They respect us as their spiritual leaders, not some lowly carpenter from Nazareth. If we show our mutual displeasure with this Jesus, the people will not want to follow him anymore. We must be firm and united. Yes.
Let us remember, friends, that we must let his own words trap him. Many of the common people have been swayed with his little chats, his stories. We must clearly show the people that this Jesus is just another blasphemer. We've had so many of them lately.
Your Excellency, Jesus of Nazareth is here.
We are ready. Ask him to come in.
Open the doors. Ask him to come in.
Close the doors and bolt them. We want no interruptions.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Now, has everyone taken his place? Good. All right. Jesus of Nazareth, come forward. We've had reports, Jesus of Nazareth, that you are in the habit of breaking our laws, making light of our requirements for a holy life. Just this last Sabbath, you not only healed a man, but you ordered him to carry his sleeping mat. All on the holy Sabbath. All on the holy Sabbath day. How do you answer these charges?
My Father is always doing good, and I am following his example.
His Father? Does he mean God? But his father is Joseph, a carpenter.
Perhaps, but who knows for sure? This man is not in his right mind.
Did I hear you right, Jesus of Nazareth? You claim to have God as your father.
I tell you the very truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing, and in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and tells him everything he is doing. And the Son will do far more awesome miracles than healing the crippled man.
You speak great words. You pretend to be a prophet.
He's a blasphemer. Away with him.
Let's judge him now and be done with it.
Yes, exactly.
You will see that the Son will even raise from the dead anyone he wants to, just as the Father does. And the Father leaves all judgment of sin to his Son, so that everyone will honor the Son, just as they honor the Father.
What does this blasphemer mean, honor the Son?
We honor only God.
Moses! We honor Moses. We know he was a prophet.
But this Galilean, this prophet from Nazareth?
It is blasphemy. He should no longer live.
He should be put to death.
Yes, put him to death.
But we have no authority. We must get the Roman governor to agree.
How dare you, Jesus of Nazareth, a mere man, speak like you have spoken to us? We have Moses and the prophets.
You search the scriptures, as you say, for you believe they give you eternal life. And the scriptures point to me. Yet you won't come to me so that I can give you this eternal life.
Come to you? Are you insane? Us, the spiritual leaders of Israel, come to you? A carpenter from Nazareth?
No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other. But you don't care about the honor that comes from the only God.
That's enough. You accuse us, the ruling council? How dare you?
Yes, how dare you.
It is not I who will accuse you. Moses will. Moses, on whose laws you set your hopes of heaven. For you have refused to believe Moses. He wrote about me, but you refuse to believe him. So you refuse to believe in me. And since you don't believe what he wrote, no wonder you don't believe me either.
We must do something to punish this blasphemer. You know almost all the members of this council would like to be rid of this Jesus. Bring it to a vote, Your Excellency.
While the council members tried to determine what to do with Jesus, the crowd outside became larger and louder.
Can't you get us in there, Jesse? After all, you are the son of one of them.
Shh! Don't say that. Not here in front of all these people. Look how angry they are. You know, they won't let anyone in except the members.
If Jesus had waited one more day and not healed on the Sabbath, then this wouldn't have happened.
He healed on the Sabbath on purpose and told old Judah to carry his bed. I think he's been trying to irritate the leaders.
You think so?
Sure. He doesn't respect the rabbis or Pharisees or priests. He doesn't think much of their rules, especially about the Sabbath.
Well, to tell you the truth...
You mean you don't think much of them either? Ben, I can't believe that. Not you.
Jesse, tell me, do you enjoy the Sabbath day? Or is it like a noose around your neck? Trying to follow all the rules set by the rulers. Don't walk this far. Don't carry this. Don't spit on the ground, because that's work. You can't sew two stitches together on a piece of cloth. Don't rub wheat kernels in your hand. And on and on and on.
I won't listen to such talk. Of course the Sabbath is a delight to God's people. Well, to some of God's people.
To you, Jesse?
Well, maybe when I learn all the rules and regulations so they come naturally, maybe then.
I doubt it. What do you think they'll do with Jesus?
Well, they can't kill him. That's against the Roman law now. Maybe they'll whip him.
I think he's innocent.
The council will be able to judge, I think.
Meanwhile, inside the council room...
Well, you've heard for yourselves, honorable rabbis. He insults, he blasphemes, he teaches others to break our laws, and he shows no remorse for doing so. What should we do with him?
It would seem, Your Excellency, we can't do much. First, the Romans will not let us take the law into our own hands.
We could be done with this matter quickly if we could only...
The mob outside, right now we are too popular with them. They do not understand how dangerous this Jesus is. If we harm him, one can't tell what they would do.
I'm afraid Hanina speaks the truth, Your Excellency.
In other words, we must set him free. There is no justice, but there will come a time. We will find a way to be rid of this carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, we have come to a verdict in your case. First, you are fortunate that circumstances are such right now that our hands are tied in dealing with you. You can be sure that if they were different, as they might be again soon, we would not put up with you for a moment longer. You do not find favor with this council.
Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. For as I know so well, you do not have God's love within you.
We are dispensers of God's mercy. And we are being merciful to you, a blasphemer, by letting you go this time. But be careful, Jesus of Nazareth. We will meet again. God, show him to the door.
Look, Jesse, the door's opening. They're letting Jesus come out.
Yeah, and he doesn't look like he's been whipped. They're letting him go free.
He looks so calm, as if nothing happened.
But look at the council members. Boy, are they upset.
But Jesus is free. Boy, I'm glad, aren't you? Well, aren't you, Jesse?
Yes, Ben, I am. I really am.
Sabbath observance, burdened as it was by the endless rules imposed on it by the religious leaders, was no longer a joy to the people. Jesus sought, by word and example, to restore a correct understanding of the Sabbath, so it might again become the blessing and joy God had intended.
The Sabbath was made to benefit man, and not man to benefit the Sabbath.
Again and again, as Jesus performed deeds of mercy on the Sabbath, he was criticized by the religious leaders. His answer was,
"Is it right to do good on the Sabbath day or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it? If you had just one sheep and it fell into a well on the Sabbath, would you work to rescue it that day?" How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, it is right to do good on the Sabbath.
Jesus wanted to show them how much joy there was in obeying God rather than the traditions and rules of men. He tried always to teach the good news of God's love.